So Rav Ose, we're on Daf Tzadiches on the base. I just want to mention that we're still not finished with the sugya of Kavua. So, you know, I still want to wrap that up, and hopefully, you know, we'll get around to it, but it requires a great deal of study and research. And if you're looking on Daf Tzadiches on the base, you want to start with the words Umi Alfinon. That's where we're more or less holding. If you have the Tosus, Dibra Maschil Uman, you see that Tosus? Uman. On Daf Tzadiches Amid Beis. So it should be like one line above the word Uman. Yeah? We're all together? You don't have a Gemara Chulin, do you?
Everyone outside?
In theory, unless somebody here is holding on to the sheet.
The one from the
shelves?
Yeah. But there are others around on the shelves.
So you have to look around.
Alright.
Or if not, you know, maybe you can, if you sit yourself down over there, you'll be able to look on, and then maybe we'll take a break at some point and we'll photocopy a page for you if need be. Let me just start with an introduction, so that we're all together, you know, where we're up to. There's a parasha called Zroa Ba'ayel, and the Torah tells us that the Nazir, in order to bring his karban at the termination of his Nazirus, he has to fulfill this great mitzvah in which they cook in the same pot a zroa and an ayil. And what's unique about the zroa as opposed to the ayil? Does anybody recall?
It's for the kohen.
Oh, exactly. It's only edible for a kohen. A zar, who's not a kohen, is not allowed to eat the zroa. That would be a severe iser. But now we're in a funny position because the ayil has to be eaten by the zar, and the zroa and the ayil were cooked together. So the Gemara says that this is going to be the sauce for bittel. That if you have a mixture of iser veheta, because again, keep in mind that from the perspective of the zar, the zroa is basically iser of iser chamor. It's a very severe iser for him to eat the zroa. Now, the zroa is going to be cut off and given to the kohen, but meantime, through the bishul process, the tav of the zroa has penetrated into the ayil. So how can we allow the Yisrael to eat the ayil, the Yisrael non-kohen? And the answer is because the ratio between the ayil and the zroa is enough to create bittul. Now, what exactly is that ratio? That's a machlokas in the Gemara. According to one opinion, the zroa to the ayil is a ratio of 1 to 60. Okay, 1 to 60. And according to that's the opinion of Rabbi Chiya. And according to the opinion of Ravasi, it's 1 to 100. And the Gemara analyzes that machlokas, which we've discussed in the past, whether you calculate the atzamos or you don't calculate the atzamos, fine. Frek the Gemara, now the Gemara asks, Umi alfinon mina. Do we really have a justification for deriving the halachas of bittul from the case of zroa b'shela? And the Gemara now is going to attack the very premise of the Gemara that zroa b'shela is the source and can serve as the source for the law of bittul. Vasanya, we learned in a brisa, zehu heter haba mechal iser. This case of zroa b'shela is a heter that comes from an iser, meaning really universally this would be aser, if not for the exceptional case here. The way the Torah treats the ayil, that the ayil has to be eaten by a zar. If we would have applied the universal yardsticks of Isur v'Heter, when Isur is cooked with Heter, and the Heter picks up the tam of the Isur, then it's Osur. This case is the exception to the rule rather than the rule itself. That's called Heter Haba Mechlal Isur. What would be the other cases? Zehu Lemute Mai. Zehu means this is a Heter, to the exclusion of other cases. Lav, should we not say Lemute Kol Isur Shabbat Torah? Any other Isur Shabbat Torah? No, there's the Vela, Trefa, Shkotzin, Verbasim, Dam, Basamachal, whatever other Isur you have that falls into a mixture, and the mixture of Heter receives the Tam of the Isur, then there is no Din of Bittul. You want to establish a chiddush here that there's a din of bittul, you want to derive from the parasha of Zra B'Sheila. The Gemara insists, no, that's a heter. The Brisa says, Zehu heter abo mechal iser, meaning mechlal, in the general rule, it would be osur. And there is no bittul. This is going to be the exception to the rule. Here and only here is there a halach of bittul. So now you're going to derive from Zra B'Sheila a universal halach and bittul, 1 to 60, 1 to 100, how can you do that? The Brice itself says, Zehu heter haba mechal isur. This is really an isur, but the Torah is matir this isur. Amar Abaye, lo nitzricha ela l'Rabbi Yehuda. We need the Zehu for the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's going to hold the Omar, he maintains, min bimino lo batil. Now let me give two introductions here. Number one, Zra b'Sheila is min bimino. They both belong to the same min. And therefore their tam is the same tam. And introduction number two, Rabbi Yehuda at least, the Chacham don't necessarily buy into this, but Rabbi Yehuda, as we've seen many occasions, holds that min bimino is not subject to bittul. And that means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, since we take premise number one, that Zra B'Sheila is Min B'Mino, premise number two, that Min B'Mino is L'Batel, that leads us to the conclusion that Zra B'Sheila has got to be the exception to the rule rather than the rule. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda's rules and regulations, there's no way that we can permit the Tzar to eat the aisle, because the aisle, and it's irrelevant regardless of the ratio between the aisle and the Zra, the aisle is min bimino, and min bimino is afil bielef lo batel. No matter what the ratio is, there's no bittul. Kol mashmal and hocha, the Torah goes out of its way to teach us, and that's what the Tana of this Braisa wants to point out. The hocha batel, here we consider as if the Zra was completely batel in the aisle, even though it's min bimino. But obviously, we have no right to derive from this particular case of Zra B'Sheila any conclusions beyond the Zra B'Sheila. In fact, any other situation that's exactly similar to Zra B'Sheila would be Osur, no matter what the ratio is, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Min B'Mino is Lo Batel. So the Gemara at this point says, okay, so you want to tell me the following, that the Brisa of Zehu Heter Abo Mechal Isur reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and here bittul doesn't operate because it's min bimino lo batel. But I have a question to ask you, according to you, that the Zra B'Sheila is the exception to the rule, and the Torah allows for bittul in Zra B'Sheila despite the fact that it's min bimino, vil ligmar minei. Why do you insist that the parasha of Zra B'Sheila is the exception to the rule? Why not postulate that should be the rule? We have a principle called Binyan Av. Binyan Av tells me that whenever I see Allah in the Torah, I extrapolate, I universalize that Allah, and I assume that's teaching me the rule that can be applied to other cases. That's what the whole Torah is all about. If the Torah tells me in Zra B'Sheila that the Israel, is allowed to eat the aisle, despite the fact that Min B'Mino with the Zra, it must mean that Min B'Mino is Batel. So Rabbi Yehuda now is in a bind, because Rabbi Yehuda may think that there's a logical basis for his principle of Min B'Mino Lo Batel, meaning that in order to create a Bittel, you need a battle, you need a head-on collision That's called one tam against another tam, and that's called bittul b'min b'she'eino mino. But min b'mino, it's all the same tam. There's no possibility of creating bittul because min b'mino, it's the same tam. Fine, but if the Torah tells you in Zerah v'Sheila that despite the fact that both the Zerah and the Sheila share the same tam, nevertheless it's batel, and the Zerah, as far as the aisle is concerned, is command the lesser dummy, it's as if it doesn't exist, and therefore the Zerah is allowed to eat the aisle, then let's derive from this case the conclusion that min b'mino is batel. You had a svara to say min b'mino and a batel, but the pasuk says differently. You know, you have to count out to the pasuk. You can't bully around the pasuk, a parish in the Torah. So the Gemara answers goli rachman. In other words, we have another parish in the Torah where the Torah reveals to us that min b'mino is lo batel. Now, Rabosa, even if we understand that there's another parish in the Torah which operates with the principle of min b'mino lo batel, we're still not out in the clear, because then we're going to have two parashios that contradict each other. Meaning, please keep in the back of your scorecard the fact that Zerah v'Sheila teaches that min b'mino is batel. But where do we find the parish that min b'mino is not batel? So this is the case of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur back in the day when the Mikdash stood. Perhaps the most profound avoda of the day on Yom Kippur was when the Kohen did what's called hazoya. Means he took the blood of the Karbonos and he sprinkled it on the Kaporis. And what did he do? He had what's called a Kli Shares. And in that Kli Shares, that utensil, he was makabel the dam of the two major Karbonos. That's called the dam hapora and the dam hasoyer. Now, Paro, which is like an ox, is a much larger animal and has a lot more dominant than the soyer. The soyer is a goat. It's a relatively lean kind of animal. And he mixed the dam from the paro, from the par and the soyer in the same kli sharis. And the Torah says that he has to do zrika on the dam ha-par, and he has to do zrika on the dam ha-soyer. So we're now in a bond. Why? Because the Torah tells you that it has to combine this dam with that dam, the dam apart and the dam asar, the same kli. And yet the Torah says he has to do a zrika on each one, respectively, the dam apart and the dam asar. But if they're all mixed in the same, how is he going to do that? The answer is that min b'mino lo batel. Let's look at it inside. V'lokach mi dam apar u'mi dam asar. The Torah commands us in Vayikra Tesvav that he should take from the dam of the par and the dam of the soyer and do the zrika. Shavayu bahari adodi ninu. The pasuk indicates that he mixes together the two bloods. V'lo b'teli, but nevertheless, there's no bitl, because again, if you apply bitl, then the dam hapar will overwhelm the dam hasoyer in such a way that the dam hasoyer is kibad the lesser dam. It doesn't exist anymore. It's batel. No, so how is he going to be Makai the mitzvah of Hazoyer and the Dam Hasoyer? It must be that min b'mino lo batel. So now let's go back to our scorecard here. We've arrived at the point in which we have two parshias in the Torah. And they're mutually exclusive, they contradict one or the other. The parsha of Zerah v'Sheila tells me that min b'mino is batel. The parsha of Dam Hapar and Dam Hasoyer tells me that min b'mino is not batel. Frek the Gemara, my chazis the gamris mehech ligmar mehai. Now we have two parshios, so we don't know which one is meant to tell us to establish the main halacha over here. Should we take the parsha of Zerah v'Sheila and therefore say min b'mino is batel? Should we take the parsha of Dam Hapar and Dam Hasoyer and conclude that min b'mino is not batel? So my chazis. What tips the scale? Why does Rabbi Yehuda insist that Zerah v'Sheila is the exception to the rule, but the rule is Dam Hapar Dam Hasoyer? Maybe go the other way. Maybe Dam Hapar Dam Hasoyer is the exception to the rule, and the rule itself is inherent in the parsha of Zerah v'Sheila. That's the Gemara's answer. That is the Gemara's question. And the Gemara answers Chidushu. Okay, so we're going to have a lot to discuss here in the words Chidushu. But before we do that, I want to call your attention to Tosfos Dibur HaMashkil Lav L'me'utei Kol Isurim Shebatorah. The Gemara insists at this point that when the Brisa says Zehu, right, Zehu Heter Haba Mechlal Isur, the Zehu is pointing to Zera B'Shela as the exception to the rule. Whereas the rule itself is that Min B'Mino Lo Batel, as we saw in the case of Dama Par Dama Soir. So that's what the Brisa wants to point out, that Zera B'Shela in the laws of Bittel, that's the exception to the rule. And Zehu is Lem'utei Kol Isurim Shabbat Torah, and in case of Kol Isurim Shabbat Torah, there's no Bittel, not B'Shishim and not B'Mino. V'im Tomar, Tosfos asks the question, Umay Kushya Dilma Hainu Dafka Le'inyon She'ein Mevatlin Isur L'chatchila V'hocha Shari. This is a brilliant question of Tosfos. Listen to the Chaf of Tosfos. Tosfos says that when the Braisa establishes that Zera B'Shela is the exception to the rule, we can analyze that and offer two different explanations for what exactly is the exception to the rule, what rule are we talking about, and how does Zera B'Shela perform or present the exception to the rule. So if you don't mind jotting this down, one and two. Number one is Bittel, that this is the exception to the rule, and it tells me that even though, despite the fact that the isle has a tam of Zroa, nevertheless it's mutter, and the Zara is allowed to eat the isle, and there is no din of tam ki'ikar, but rather there's a din of Bittel. And that's the case of Zera B'Shela, and that's the exception to the rule, implying that in other Isurim, for example, if you have a mixture of Nevela and Shchuta, there the halach is going to be that there is no Bittel. And to the extent in which you cook the Nevela together with the Shchuta, everything is awesome. That's one way of learning the Lav L'me'utei Shar Isurim Shabbat Torah. Number two, you can learn it differently. You could say that Enoch Inami, the Halach of Bittel, as it applies to the Isle, applies in all Isuri Torah. What does the Braisa mean when it says Zehu Heter Abba Mechal Isur? The Halacha of Mutal Levatel Isur L'chatchil. That's the exception to the rule, and that's the application of Zera B'Shela. And universally, the rule is the opposite aim of Atlin Isur Chatchila. Because the Torah tells you that you're allowed to cook the Zera together with the Isle, knowing full well that by doing so, you're mixing the Tam of the Zera into the Isle. That's what the Bishul process is going to accomplish. You've now violated the principle of aim of Atlin Isur Chatchila. And this is the exception to the rule. In Zera B'Shela, the Torah gave you license and was matir to be mevatel Isur l'chatchila, to mix the tam of Isur together with heter and be mevatel. But if you went ahead and you did so, then, I'm talking about Shar Isur, then b'dieved, halacha of Bittel would apply, the same way Bittel applies in Zera B'Shela to permit the Zar to eat the isle, right? Zera B'Shela be isle. So too it'll apply in other cases, whatever the Isur is, the Vela and Shchuta. Where is the Braisa pointing the finger Zehu that this Zera B'Shela is the exception, Zera be isle is the exception, as far as to be Mavato the Isur Chatchila? Here's where the Torah was matir and the exceptions heter abba mechal isur. But as far as bittel b'dieved, if let's say you know the isur fell into the heter through no human deliberate action, then we'll apply the principle of bittel. Why does the Gemara insist says Tosus, that Zehu means that the law of Bittul is completely invalid, completely inapplicable with regard to Shari Suri Torah. That Bittul only works, only operates within the framework of Zerah B'Sheila as the exception to the rule. But in Shari Surim, there is no Bittul. Who told you? Maybe there's Bittul in Shari Surim. The Chiddush here of the Parsha of Zerah B'Sheila is that you're allowed to cook them together. That's a violation of the principle of Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila. Yes?
One quick clarification. When we say Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila, does that mean if you do it b'mezid, that you're over on a lav, or does it mean it doesn't work, that there is no Bittul?
So Tosus is now assuming that even though you violated this Isur of Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila, nevertheless, the Bittul should be operative. We'll get to it in a minute and we'll analyze that. But that's the premise that Tosus is offering. Tosus answers, V'yesh lomar, the Lashon Zeh, the Lashon of the Braisa, Heter, Habom, Michlal Iser, quote unquote, Mashma, Michlal Dvar Iser Achila. Heter Michlal Iser means that it should be Aser Vachila. And that's the exceptional rule of Zerah B'Sheila. So at this point, Rabosai, what I'd like to do with you, and this is one of the two goals that I have for today, is to learn the Chidushim of the Rashba and the Ran, and possibly even the Raifet. So what I have for you here is this page, and I tried to get it in large print for people like me, because the original could be very, very small. And the page that you that I got, I have, the other thing that I want to learn with you today is on the other side. So I was very stingy on paper because this paper is quite expensive, and of course we have to be ecological about it. So again, I never knew how many. I never know how many. Wait, don't turn it this way because otherwise you're going to get confused. Keep it in this way, okay? Where it has a base on the side, on the top left, if you follow what I mean. Okay? Now what we're looking at is Os Yud Gimel. Do you see Os Yud Gimel? You have such a thing? Okay. So he first begins by summarizing the Tosfos. And he says, I don't understand the Gemara's objection, the Gemara's Kasha. It's quite possible that the Braisa wants to tell us that only in Zerah B'Sheila did the Torah allow us l'chatchila to be mevatel iser beheter, and that's inherent in the fact that the Torah commanded you to cook the Zerah with the ayil, but in Shari Surim you're not allowed to mix iser and heter l'chatchila in order to be mevatel. However, Bidyeved, and this is my own addition, right? But Bidyeved, if you mix them together, then surely Zerah B'Sheila is going to be the paradigm to teach me Bittul. And Tosus answers that the phrase Zehu Heter means that there's a Heter on the Achila. Whereas the Din of Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chatchila only applies to the act of mixing them, but Bidyeved, Muteres HaTarovas B'Achila Min HaTorah. Upa Rashba, Hevi Tirutz Acher B'Shem HaTosus. The Rashba quotes a Tosus that we don't have and offers an alternative answer. And he says the following: Shedin Zeh Sha'asu Levatel Isurim Lechatchila Eino Min HaTorah L'Midirei Chachamim. According to the Rashba, in the name of Tosus, the halach of Ein Mevatlin Isa L'Chatchila is a Dirabana. It's not a Doraisa. Here we're trying to understand the nature of the parasha and the application of the rules that govern Zerah B'Sheila. You can't introduce Ein Mevatlin Isa L'Chatchila because we're talking about the mitzvah Doraisa. Now, he quotes a Nodav Yehuda. Now, this Nodav Yehuda is very fascinating. The Nodav Yehuda says that even the Rashba would agree that there is a case there is a situation in which Ein Mevatlin Isul Chaykhila is Doraisa. And here we have to differentiate between two types of tarovas. We've spoken about this many times. There's a tarovas called a tarovas of Nesinas Tam, and there's a tarovas called Suffolk. What do I mean? If there's a cooking process in which the Issa and the Heter were cooked together, that's a tarovas of what? Nesinas Tam. But if on the other hand you have something called Yavesh B'Yavesh, you have a mixture of two dry substances that are not cooked together, that's a different type of a tarovas. That's a tarovas of Suffolk. Meaning any time I pull out a piece from this mixture, I don't know if I happen to bump into the Issa or not. So he wants to say that if you take a piece of cold nevela out of the fridge and you throw it into two pieces of shchuta and everything's cold and everything's solid and it's yavesh b'yavesh, that would be an isur doraisa even according to the Rashba. What case does the Rashba have in mind that minatori you're allowed to mix isur v'heter? That's only lach b'lach where you cook them together. And the difference is fundamental, says the Novi Yehuda. If you cook them together, then the issue is tam. Now you went and you were mevatel the tam. That you're allowed to do according to the Torah law. Again, the Torah is not going to give you shishi for that, but you're allowed to do it according to the Rashba. It's only rabbinic in the nature of the issur. But even the Rashba says no. The Yehuda would admit that if it's a tarovus of yavish be yavish, we mamish taking a heft of the issur of be'en, and you're being mevatel it, that you're not allowed to do. Ulefichach, getting back to the Rashba, Efshal lo mishakavonis abraisa rakan hitira Torah levatel isul chatchila, because the Gemara is talking about a doraisa, and according to the Rashba, midoraisa you're allowed to be mevatel isul chatchila. So the act of bishul in which you took this raw and cooked it with the ayil would be mutter according to the Rashba. On a doraisa level, it's only derabana. Ubir lepirish says shemasha omer la gemara lahalon sheyesh chilish miyuchad bizroa b'sheila ena kavon al masha huta levatel lechatchila bizroa. The gemara later on, we'll see it soon, is going to classify bizroa b'sheila as a chidush. It's not the chidush that you're allowed to cook them together. Dover said mutav benato b'chol isurim. You can take any isur and cook it with heter. This is interesting. He means to say that even though the Torah would allow you to mix and cook Isa with Heter, but don't tell me you're being Mekayim a mitzvah. Here, in the case of Zro B'Shela B'Ayel, the Torah commanded me to cook them together. I fulfill a mitzvah by doing so. With regard to other Isurim, even though it's mutter to do so, nevertheless, yesh bedover gnai, it's not something that the Torah is proud of you, but b'dieved it's okay, the bitter will apply, and you didn't violate any mitzvah, or you didn't fulfill any mitzvah, I should say. In the case of Zeruah B'Shela, the Torah went as far as to say that not only b'dieved is mutvul chatchila, it's a mitzvah to do so. That makes the case of Zeruah B'Shela a mitzvah. Hiksha. Now the Rashba asks himself a kasha. Im kein nitan lefarish kach es divrei abraisa ze heter abo mechal isu leinyin ze shirak kan yesh mitzvah levatel se isu aval b'shar makomos ein mitzvah. Maybe what the Braisa has in mind, zu heter abo mechal isu, is to tell you that here it's a mitzvah to cook isu v'heter together. V'tirets, and he answers, i'ef shalom hake me'achar she'ein b'kach chidush sha'arei minayin lanu lomar she mitzvah levatel isurim b'chol makom she'utzvah katan al shmeni she'edah dover kain. What was the hava meaning to say, asks the Rashba, that in other isurim you're a mitzvah, you're commanded to take nevelo, chelev, adam and mix it and cook it together in order to be levatel it? Who would ever entertain such a possibility that there's such a mitzvah? So why did the Brice have to go out of its way to tell you zu heter b'chol isur, but in other isurim not? Omnam, now he quotes the Raifat. Asur levatel isurim lechatchilu min haTorah. Achim avar ubitel as isuchal habitel midoraisa el shekonsu chachomes amavatel b'mezid shol isbatel isur legabav ulegabi misha bitel avuro umutel chalada ulegabi mavatel b'shogeg nechleku tanoim esech the gittin im katsu chachom lalach notin anu shebishogeg mutter. So the Ravid says that enochinami, you're not allowed to be mevatel isur lechatchila. However, what's the story with the Eved if you went ahead and you cooked isur and heter? So the answer is that that's only knas chacham. The Torah itself never prohibited a violation of bittel isur lechatchila by the Eved after it's a done deal. You know, it's interesting because sometimes the Torah says that we don't want you to benefit from an avera. This is a sugya in the Masechta Tevurah, which is called the Avid Lo Mahan. That, let's say, for example, a man is not allowed to marry, let's say, a Shifra Knaitis, that's an Isur of Kadesh, and he went ahead and he married her. Or a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, a Grusha Rizona. Or a coin goes, I don't want. In all these cases, according to one man, the Omar, he avid lo mahan. If he went ahead and he violated, he said, we don't want him to gain any benefits from it. So what we're going to do is we're going to say it's invalid. It could be that if we apply this principle to payroll shvius, you're not allowed to sell and market payroll shvius, get a profit from it. If a person went ahead and he sold payroll shvius, maybe the Torah would object to the Kenyan and say to the Kodah, then he's got to give back the payros to the mocher because we invalidate the kinyan. Says the Ravid, true. Ein mevatlin isa lechatchila, even midoraisa, the Torah prohibits you from mixing isa veheter and cooking it together. But says the Ravid, b'dieved, we're not going to undermine the results, the repercussions of that act of bishul, and the bittul will be chal. Aye, now you want to come and eat it. How can we allow you to eat it? The answer is, that's only a knas d'rabban. The Torah never prohibited you from getting benefit from the violation of ein mevatlin isa lechatchila, and b'dieved the bittul is chal. Okay, Rabbi Osei, let's go on now in the Gemara. Amar Abaye, lo nitricha, Ella, Lirabi. Oh, so that we read it. Sorry. No. Good. So where are we holding it? No. Let's just make a summary. Umaychaz. We're up to my chazis? Oh, so let me read again my chazis, if you don't mind just to backtrack for a moment. Umaychaz the gamris mihech ligmar mehai. Rabbi Yehuda is now in a kind of a tug of war. On the one hand, the parasha of Zeruah B'Sheila will teach me that there is no bittul. I'm sorry, that there is bittul in Min B'Mino. On the other hand, the parasha of Dam HaPar and Dam HaSor teaches me that there is no bittul in Min B'Mino. My chazis, why does he prefer to assume, to grab on to Dam HaPar and Dam HaSor as the rule and downgrade Zeruah B'Sheila as the exception to the rule? Why not do it the other way around? Why not use Zeruah B'Sheila as the paradigm that there is bittul in Min B'Mino and Dam HaPar Dam HaSor is the exception to the rule? So Gemara answers Chidushu. Okay, we finally got to Chidushu. Now keep in mind that according to the Rashba that we just learned, there is no violation of bittul lechatchila to artificially create a situation of bittul by cooking iser with heter. That's not asur min haTorah. And then the Rashba says, so what's this concept of chidush? The chidush is that it's a mitzvah. In no other iser would anybody even contemplate the possibility there's a mitzvah to take iser and cook it with heter in order to mevatel it. And here yet, nevertheless, in the case of Zeruah B'Sheila, the Torah commanded us to cook it. That's the chidush. But keep in mind, Rabosai, that Tosfos is of the opinion, like the Raivid, that Ein Mevatlin Isa L'Chatchila is a Doraisa, the Raisa prohibition. So therefore we could say that the Chidush that the Gemara is referring to in the Parsha Zroa B'Sheila is the license, the permissibility of cooking the Zroa together with the aisle and violating the principle of Asur L'Chatchila L'Vatel Isa. And I think Rashi also belongs to this camp. If you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Matzal Chidushu, which is line 5 of the skinny lines, he says the L'Chatchila Hitir L'Vatel Isa. The Torah allowed you to be Mevatel Isa. That makes Zra B'Sheila a Chidush, an exception to the rule. Now the Gemara tells us that we have a principle, Mechidush Lo Gamrinon. We're not allowed to use a case of a chidush and make it into a binyan av, and make it into a paradigm. Because if it's a chidush, it means that the Torah, so to speak, broke down all the rules and regulations that would apply universally in this particular case. Therefore, this case belongs in a, you know, and if it's in its own bubble, you cannot extrapolate from this place, from this case, to other cases. Mechidush lo gamrinon. In other words, what justifies Rabbi Yehuda's conclusion that min bimina lo batel? Why does Rabbi Yehuda prefer to derive his principle from dam hapar and dam asoyer, forfeiting the parsha of Zra B'Sheila? And the answer is because here in Zra B'Sheila there's a chidush. In Dam HaPar and Dam HaSoyer, he's not being Mevatel Isa L'Chatchila. In other words, Dam HaPar and Dam HaSoyer is not a Chefetz Nisura. But here in the case of Zra, the Zra, as far as the Zar is concerned, is a Chefetz Nisura. And he's taking that Zra and he's cooking it together with the aisle, and he's violating the Isa of Ein Mevatel Isa L'Chatchila, which is Do'oraisa. Again, according to Tosfos and the Raivid, and the Torah permitted it, that already flukes up the whole system. That already indicates chidush. Do you want to go now a step further and say, okay, forget about Ein Mevatel Isa L'Chatchila, that's a unique halach in Zohar B'Sheila. But the Di'evid, the Bittul should be Chal, and that I want to derive from Zohar B'Sheila, and Zohar B'Sheila now becomes paradigmic. The Gemara says, no, we have a rule, Mechidush Lo Gamri. We can never derive. In other words, once the Torah has told me that a particular rule that we know applies universally does not apply in this case, then even other laws and other details in the case are disqualified. They cannot serve as a malamed to teach us elsewhere. No, it now comes out, according to the cheshbon that I make, tell me if you agree with this cheshbon, according to who we hold it with, Abaye, right? Is this Abaye? Did I get that right?
Yeah.
How come I don't see it now? Okay, sorry. Sorry. In this edition. Oh, Omar Abaye, right? So is Abaye. So Abaye says, Chiyushu. No, at this point, it comes out like that. That we understand very well why Rabbi Yehuda derived the conclusion that min bimino lo batel from Dam HaPar and Dam HaSoyer, ignoring the parsha of Zra B'Sheila, which would have indicated that min bimino is batel. The reason he did that is because of chidushu umi chidush lo gamri. Correct? But we're not out in the clear, Abaye. You know, we're still really deep in the quagmire here. Why? Ihachi lemeya v'shishim nami lo ligmar. Right? We've been insisting that according to Rav Chia and according to Rav Asi, the source in the Torah for bittul is the parsha of Zra B'Sheila. You just finished telling me that Zra B'Sheila is a chidush. Umi chidush lo gamrina. And that's the justification for of you, the deriving the conclusion that min bimino lo batel. No, so how can you derive the halach of bittel from zorah b'sheila? The whole sugya of Chia and Rav Asi goes down the tubes. Throw it overboard. It's meaningless. Did I make myself clear? I said it in three ways because I wanted to emphasize it. We're really stuck over here now. Ihachi lemea v'shishim nami lo ligmar. And I emphasize this because this is a major crossroads in the sugya. The Gemara is really now at a, the Gemara is going to have to make a move, as we say in basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, or in hockey, I don't know, whatever your favorite sport is. Because we're really in deep trouble. We've just finished justifying Rabbi Yehuda's Shita by saying that Zorah B'Sheila is a Chiddush, whom he Chiddush lo gamrina. And that nullifies and neutralizes Zorah B'Sheila in order to allow us to activate Dama, Parah, Dama, Sar, and conclude the Min Vivina lo Batil. But at the same time, you've now undermined the whole Sugya. Where is the source in the Torah for Bittul? The answer of Chiyah Rav Asi was Zorah B'Sheila. But how can you derive any conclusions about Shari, Suri, Torah and Bittul from Zorah B'Sheila when Zorah B'Sheila is a Chiddush? So that alone, that itself is not a great accomplishment on my part. But now we face the real challenge. The Gemara's answer to this question. The Gemara says, "Atu anan lekula gamrinon lechum." Atu anan lekula gamrinon with a question mark, meaning that's a rhetorical question. No, lechumra gamrinon. I don't have a right to derive kulos from Zorah B'Sheila. Because me chiddush lo gamrin and kulos. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if I have dama par and dama sar to tell me that min bimino lo bat, I can't derive the opposite conclusion, lahakel, that there is bittul and min bimino from Zorah B'Sheila, because Zorah B'Sheila is a chiddush. The Torah is already matir. Let's say the Torah is matir, bittul chatchila, the Torah upgraded it to a mitzvah, whatever you want to say. That's called chiddush lo gamrina, meaning we can't derive a kula from a chiddush. The kula of min bimino batel derived from Zorah B'Sheila. But even if I grant you that Zorah B'Sheila is a chumra, is a chiddush, I can still derive a chumra from a chiddush. What's the chumra that I want to derive? Bittul b'shishim, bittul b'meyam? That's not a chumra, that's a kula. Bittul means that even after I have a mixture of isa v'het, I'm allowed to eat that mixture. How could the Gemara say that this is called a chumra? I never saw it as a chumra. Imagine, Rabbosai, you get a piece of Echves McDonald's hamburger and it falls into a pot of meat. And now you can apply the principle of bittul. You're going to call that a chumra? I'm going to call it a kula. And the chiddush lo gamrinan kula. And the Gemara says, nay, it's a chumra. So apparently, the Gemara is now penetrating into the havamina. What would we have thought about this McDonald's hamburger mixed in with I don't know what, machbud, whatever your favorite thing is, if not for the parsha of Zorah B'Sheila? What would I have thought? And the Gemara says something amazing. The Gemara says, midoraisa beruba batel, if you cook a McDonald's tray for hamburger with twice the size of basa shchuta, it's batel. Now wait a second. We've been talking about bittul berov. In what kind of a case, Rabosai? In a case with of let's say yavish b'yavish. So let me give you that case. That's a classical case of rov, which is a tarovis of safek. You have a tarovis of safek. The Torah tells you rely on rov. But now, instead of taking a piece of cold, dry McDonald's tray for meat, hamburger, I'm mixing it with two other pieces of hamburger, eaty, meaty, miny, moe. What did I do? I cooked the meat, the tray for meat, of McDonald's together with kosher meat. What element now enters into the equation? Above and beyond Suffolk, what else do we have here, Rabosai? Tom, we got Tom Isur. Tom Isur is bottle of a roll. Imagine, you've got a hamburger, a trefe hamburger that's 49, and you've got a kosher hamburger that's 50. And you're going to tell me that it's mutter with the rice when you cook them together because the halacha of Rav. That's a... So here, Abosha, I want you to turn to the other side of the page that I gave you. And now we're looking at Chaf Aleph. Okay? Now, what I want you to make sure you're doing here, and again, I apologize for any logistical challenges here, is I want you to keep two things open in front of you. I want you to keep in front of you this footnote number Chaf Aleph, and at the same time, I want you to keep in front of you Tosfos Dibur HaMaskil L'Chumra. Can you juggle those two on the same table? L'Chumra Gavrinon D'Midoraisa Batel Beruba Bot Vim Tomar Ha Tenach Bimino. I could say that Min Bimino. If we reject Rabbi Yehuda, we hold like Chachamim is Batel Berov on a Doraisa level. And Rabosi, you may recall that we discussed this in many occasions, especially those who were with me for the Ardeish year, that there's something called Nishpach. And in Nishpach, we cannot possibly be Meshayer whether it's Shishim or not Shishim. So we said that in Min Bimino, in Nishpach, if we know this Rov, we apply the principle of Safek to Rabbanu Lekula. Because Min Bimino Midoraisa is Bat of a Rov, because it's not a Tarovus of Tam. All the Tam is the same. So you can't tell me that the Tam Isu is going into Tam Heter. There is no mixture of Tam. So the Torah relies on Bitul Barov. And that's a Doraisa Halacha. We'll fall back on that in the case of Nishpach, in a case where we know that there's at least Chach Rov. Fektosis, what are you telling me, L'chumra Gamrinon? The midoraisa bottle, the rov bottle, meaning that this whole halach of shishim is a chumra, because on a deraisa level be bottle rov, that would make sense in min bimino, but it would make no sense in a case of min bishenom, you know, because what happens in min bishenom, you know, there's a transfer of tam, that's called tam kika deraisa. No, if that be the case, tam kika deraisa, the Torah itself says that the tam iser mixed in the heter passes the heter, even though you have rov. I mean, the tam persists even way beyond rov. Way beyond rov. Between rov and shishim, there's a world of difference. That's why I tell you that of all the challenges in this sugya, this is the greatest challenge. To try to figure out what the Gemara means by telling me that shishim is called a chumra. Why is shishim called a chumra? Because midoraisa is bottom rov. Ribosha, we're talking about min b'sheino mino here. Is min b'sheino mino requires bittul b'shishim midrabanan in some sort of rabbinic chumra? It's doraisa. Look, a tam kiker is doraisa. I challenge you. Take a hamburger, a trefe hamburger, and cook it with two kosher hamburgers, right? And give it to a kfela, right? Okay, so hamburgers is not a great example because it's min bimino. Okay, let's get a better example. Okay, sorry. What do we have? We have a zucchini, and we cook a piece of trefe of meat with a zucchini. Now give that, and then the zucchini, let's say the trefe of meat is one kazayas, and the zucchini is a kazayas and a half, right? 1.1. Give that zucchini to a kfela. And I'm not going to taste it. No way, no how. Because I know I'm going to taste meat in that zucchini. And that meat is trefe of meat. They used to have kosher McDonald's here in Israel. They still have it? In Mevaseret they used to have it. I haven't been in Mevaseret for many years, so I don't know. I used to spend most of my life there. Yeah, I spent 18 years of my life there with this man's brother-in-law. We were partners for 18 years. Okay. I'm not saying he dropped me. I mean, we both dropped out. Let's put it that way. And you should know about his brother-in-law, and I say this with tears in my eyes, he's a walking, living Musa Sefer. Not that Sammy isn't, I don't know, I'm just saying. Barry is Barry, I mean, Baruch, right? Different. I know him from his youth, so I can call him Barry, but he's an unbelievable personality. But okay, I got off on a tangent over here. And just because I remembered that there once was a kosher McDonald's, I don't know if it still exists. Here, I think, they closed up. Baruch Hashem, they didn't have enough clients. So the Tom, I mean, it's Tom Issa in the head there, and you're telling me the Torah was machmir to require shishim. Pukhtake, the Torah is megil with shishim. Shishim is a great cooler. I would have said, you know, you put this hamburger together with the vegetables in one pot, and the hamburger's treif, don't even dream about eating this mixture. But no, you're allowed to eat it. Serve me roast zucchini that was roasted with treif and meat, and I'm going to eat it. Why? Because shishim. Okay, that's a kula. That's a great kula. And yet the Gemara calls it a chur. And if it's a chur, we can sideswipe the principle of michidush lo gamrinon. So we can do one of two things here. We can either read the Tosis inside or take a look at his. He has a whole bunch of things here with a Ran that's very exciting. You know what? Let's start by reading at least Tosis. I honestly find this Tosfos a little bit anticlimactic. I feel it down a little bit. It's a bit of a disappointment to me. I was waiting for some bombastic answer to this mind-boggling question, and instead, basically, he says the kasha is stronger than the teretz, and he says the falvi yesh lomar delav drasha gemurahi. This is not a drasha gemurah. In the case of min b'mino, midaraisa is bottom of rov, and the parsha of zro b'sheila jacked up with a chumra that we require not rov but we need shishim. U'b'she'eno mino kim lahu. We know from some birdie that whispered to us. I don't know who told us. Debioser mishishim lemar. Umeo lemar pose katam. This we knew from an independent source of information that there's no tam after shishim. No kfeil in the world will be able to tell you that he tastes the tam and a treif of meat if there's shishim in the pot. But asmachinu nami ahaikra, they found a smachta here in this pasuk of zroa b'sheil. It's just an asmachta. They knew, independent of this parsha of Zohar B'Sheila, that 60 is enough to be mevatel the Tam Isur, or Meya according to the Ma'an, according to Rav Asi, and that's it, and therefore there's no Tam Isur. More or less, it's like giving it to a kfeila. You don't even have to bother giving it to kfeila. The kfeila will tell you, I don't taste any change in the Tam. So it comes out, Rabosai, that what we've been learning now for about a week or two, that Rav Asi and before him, Rav Chiya discovered this great discovery that shishim, this halacha of shishim in bittel, and bittel b'shishim, bittel b'meya, and they derived it from this fantastic limud called Zro b'sheila. Forget it. Ain't no such thing. Zro b'sheila is a chiddush, and bittel is certainly a kula, and you can't derive from a chiddush a kula. The answer is, they didn't derive it, don't even dream of it, they didn't derive it from Zohar B'Sheila. It's a little bit disappointing, no? After all the work we've been putting into Zohar B'Sheila, it was all one big bluff. There's no binyan av to teach me shishim and bittel from Zohar B'Sheila. Zohar B'Sheila is a chiddush, it belongs in its own category, there's nothing you can extrapolate from it, and certainly not the kula of bittel. So where do we know the kula of bittel is, that after shishim is no tam? We know it. We know it. That's it. He doesn't even tell us. Doesn't even tell us where we know it from. The Odi says the zimnin sometimes posek bepachas mishishim omimeya. Oh, Tosus now this teretz is a little bit more exciting than the first teretz. Tosus says now that there are scenarios in which even if there's no shishim, the tam is posek, right? Because again, we always say the tam, the different kinds of tam, some more profound than others. So there are situations where the tam is a little bit weaker, and therefore it doesn't give a tam, even though there's only 40 in the het against the isur. Nevertheless, there's no tam. In Cain, Hodi Alfina Lesar at Shishimeh Chumra Bialmahu. that there is an element of chumria, because if not for this parsha of Zorah B'Sheila establishing the minimum of bit for bit l'shishim, we would have said no, maybe we can lower the minimum in certain cases where the tam is not so powerful. So take a look now at footnote number Chaf Aleph, and we're going to try to see what we can get out of this footnote in the few minutes that we have. First, he quotes the Kash of Tosfos. How could the Gemara say that this is a chumrah? Because midaraisa it's batel berov. Well, that might be good for min b'mino, but min b'sheino mino. Haremin haTorah eino batel calls machiyesh behetu tam. And it's a beautiful summary of the main point of Tosfos, because the tam ki ikar is deoraisa. And Tosfos is very consistent. Umetum, he holds that tam ki ikar is deoraisa. And Cain loamed him onu mizroa b'sheila lahakel. The chiddush of zroa b'sheila is to teach me lakula, that at the point at which there is 60, that's enough to be matir. Tosfos answers, "Eino chinami, this limud from Zohar B'Sheila is just a fig leaf. It's only an asmach. It's not a real drasha." And the Gemara just wants to establish that as far as min b'mino, we have a din of doraisa of bittul barov, and Zohar B'Sheila is going to teach us no, that you still need shishim or mea. However, how do we know then if this whole business is an esmachta? So from whence do we know the halach of bittul of shishim le'inyan min b'sheino mino? Kabbalah hoisa biyadam biyad chacham. Well, in Tosfos itself, let's go back to Tosfos for a minute. In Tosfos says kimluhu. Now, I thought, honestly, that Kimlu was some sort of physics. He's saying, and again, you can either take him or my interpretation of Tosfos, he's saying that what Tosfos has in mind is Kabbalah Hoysa Biyad Chachamim Shetam Iser Posik B'Shishim O B'Meh. Now, Alan, for technical reasons, I'm hesitant, I'm inhibited. I would not say Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, because I believe, based on what I learned in the Rambam, that there's never a machlokas in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Here, we have a great debate whether it's Shishim or Meir. But Kabbalah Oiso B'Yodam Yad Chachomim, I guess these Chachomim were wise people. They weren't necessarily, you know, carrying a tradition Ishmi to Ish back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now he brings the second teretz of Tosfos, that even in the case of min b'sheino mino, there is a chumrah here, because sometimes it fizzles out, if you use that term, in less than shishim, and the Torah now says through Zorah B'Sheila that you need a minimum of shishim in every single scenario. Then at the end of the footnote, he quotes a rhyme. Haran Kosav Hachiyap Kamrina. He's quoting the Ran verbatim. Dividaraisa Kol Hecha Delo Yoiv Taima is Beruba Batel. The Eilacha Isa Bitar Shiite Tam Bishishim. The Yeshbaim Harbe Shafil Bi Eser Viesrim Ein Nostin Tam. Hilkoch Kibin and Shishim Bechali Surim Afagav. The leka taima chumrahu, the midrais kol hech the leka taima beruba bot. So the Ran, in a sense, picks up on the second answer to Tosfos and he embellishes it. He says that on a doraisa level, as long as you get rid of the tam, it's batel. And what the Torah says is that we're going to, in a sense, uniformly create a standard of shishim. That's a chumrah. Why? Because in many cases, the tam could be batel in a much smaller ratio. Let it be 10, let it even be rov. And therefore, it's a chumrah to say that under all circumstances, universally, absolutely, we require shishim or meah. Now, all this is abaye. Let's just finish up the last few minutes that we have with rova. Rava Amar, going back to the Sugilo Nitzricha, when the Braisa wants to exclude other Isurim, Ella Litam Ki'ikar. This is unbelievable. We've been assuming all along that Tam Ki'ikar is Doraisa. Comes along Rav and he says, no. Tam ki isu doraisa is only in the case of Zerah b'sheila, but not in any other case. The vikachim asur, kamash v'londa hachashari. What it means is that the Torah itself does not recognize tam ki ikar, at least with regard to chulin. The Torah recognizes tam ki ikar only in kachim. In Zerah b'sheila, we have an example of something that's paradigmic for kachim, and that is tam ki ikar. And therefore we need shishim to be mevatel it. But ein chinami, once we leave the very limited scope of kachim, and we go out into the wild blue yonder of chulin, ein chinami, there's no din of tam ki ikar doraisa.
Well, this thing, Zerah b'sheila, is not a min v'mina.
Again, we're going according to the Mandi Omar, who says that min b'mino is batel,
right?
Correct. The Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, or alternatively, according to Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino in general is not batel. Here, the Torah says in Zerah b'sheila it is bittel, it is batel. But be that as it may, clearly from Zerah b'sheila we're operating within the framework of bittel. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the chiddush is that bittel operates in min b'mino. According to Chachamim, the chiddush is that lechumra in min b'mino you cannot fall back on rov. You require the min b'mino bittel of shishim or mea, but all this, says Rava, Bamed Var Mamurim, is limited to Kachin. In Kachin, the Torah is always more machmir, and therefore it requires bittel. And that's called Tam Ki Iker Doraisa in the case of Kachin. But here, the Gemara says, Zeo Heta Michlal, the Braisa, Zeo Heta Michlal Iser, meaning the Torah is going to allow, let's say, for example, let's go according to Yehuda, a heter of bittel in Zerah b'sheila in min b'mino, which the Torah normally would not allow in kachim. That's the way Rava interprets this gemara. Kamashman hacha, but in other cases of kachim, then the Torah would require a halach, would apply the halach of min b'mino lo batel according to Rabbi Yehuda, and would not accept the kula of bittel in kachim, because tam ki ikar doraisa in the case of kachim. However, in chulin, ein achinami, we don't need bittel, because we don't apply the principle of tam ki ikar doraisa. Now wait a second, Rabbi Osai. When you say there's no din of tam ki ikar doraisa, if I've got a hamburger that's treif inside this pot, how can I eat the pot? What are you telling me that Tam Kika Lam Doraisa? But again, we have to be very careful here. What it means, Tam Kika Doraisa Lam Doraisa, is when he pulled the hamburger out of the mixture, and what he's left with is Tam. If that is true, that's where Rava says that you can eat this even though you may taste the Tam of the Isa, because the Torah never recognizes Tam without what? Without Be'en. And the one who addresses this in great detail on this page that I gave you is footnote number Chaf Beis. And I beg you to hold on to this page, because it's a real hassle for me to photocopy it. And, you know, you're mature people here and you should be able to hold on to it. And please put an arrow near the Chaf Beis so we know exactly where we want to pick this up for Lineder next time. But we still have to finish up the sugya. I'm not giving up on my hopes to get a grasp on the sugya of Kavua and hold the parish Miruba parish. That will do later.